Gun sales in Arizona are skyrocketing. Stores selling out of those high-capacity 33-round magazines allegedly used by Jared Loughner. We'll talk to a gun shop owner not thrilled about their great sales. But first, how much technology do you use? Email? Twitter? Facebook? Second Life? How about robot pets like Furby, Tamagotchis, Ivo the dog, or Zuzu the pet hamsters, or My Real Baby? And is there a connection between kids who grew up with those toys and kids who are now refusing to talk to anyone except through Twitter or Facebook? How is this whole technology thing going? Well, Sherry Turkle says probably not well. She's an MIT-based clinical psychologist who was as excited as everyone else at the advent of the new technology. You know, wow, computers, people could use them for spreadsheets. But after decades of research and hundreds of interviews, she has some questions and concerns about toys that demand love from children, the first computers to ask for love or they will die, concerns about a father who pushes his child on a swing while he texts his virtual Second Life mistress on a smartphone, concerns about the future in which there is already an assumption that robots will care for the elderly because no one else will. Why won't we? Sherry Turkle's new book is Alone Together, Why We Expect More from Technology and Less from Each Other. She returns to the studio. We welcome you, Sherry.
Pleasure to be here.
And, you know, I said, you know, you presume that some people's lives might not be going well. Others are going well. So just, you know, what is your headline after all of this research and all of these interviews about technology?
Well, my headline is that there's kind of a people need to strike a balance, and some people are better at it than others. And one of the things I found from doing all of this research is that many of us are not as good at striking this balance as we think we are. And my favorite line in my book, if an author is allowed to have a favorite line from all the lines she's written, is just because we grew up with the internet, we think that the internet is all grown up. And we think that what we have now is what we have to have in the future. And that's not true. I think it's time to step back and reflect. And in each of our families, in each of our schools, with our children, in our relationships, really ask, is this technology giving us what nurtures us and what we need, and make the corrections.
Well, and you say in many cases it's not giving us what we need. You mentioned children. When at MIT, all of these, the very exciting early moments when the first robots were presented, you went with children over to look at some of them. And what struck me is that even when researchers would completely take apart a robot and show a child, this is not real, look at all the parts, that child needed to see what?
They could see and understand. I mean, this is what's important to remember about. And remember, I'm talking about a very particular kind of robot. I'm not talking about all the wonderful robots that clean your house or that go over and dismantle bombs in Iraq or do things for us. I'm talking about robots that begin to presume to love us. I'm talking about relational robots, sociable robots that start to want to be nanny bots, elder care bots, robots that start to want, that say, take care of me and I'll take care of you.
Right.
And these children are very seduced by these robots. I myself, when a robot makes eye contact, looks at you in the eye, reaches towards you, I mean, you're toast. Do you think that robot cares about you?
You had that experience there. There were the robots Cog and Kismet.
Absolutely.
And you went up to them, and there was something that happened in you, in your heart, that said, this robot loves me.
This robot, well, worse than that, I wanted that robot to pay attention to me. I felt jealous of the other people in the room who it seemed to care about more. And what I found with these children is even after you explain to them how the robot works, that feeling, that desire to be recognized by the robot endures. Because biologically, we are programmed to experience something that looks at us that way, responds to us that way. We're programmed to respond to that as though it's a living creature.
Well, and then we go on to have those robots that were in the MIT lab become these toys that I was talking about, the Furbies, the Tamagotchis.
Absolutely.
The things that children. And you have interview after interview, you observe child after child, really believe that if, you know, as the toy maker told you, if you don't take care of this, they will die. You have parents taking care of their children's Tamagotchis during business meetings, you know, so that the toy will live. Now, some people might say, you know, we have a lot of latchkey kids now. We have a lot of kids who maybe aren't as interacting as much. what is wrong with children maybe learning how to take care of a baby through My Real Baby or take care of a robot pet before they have an actual pet? What is wrong? As a psychologist, what did you see?
Well, the wonderful thing about children playing with dolls is the doll is kind of a blank slate. And the doll and the child can project their feelings of what they need, what they're missing, onto the doll. So if a child is feeling that they feel a little guilty about something, the child lines up their Barbies in detention and punishes their Barbies. Hmm. Robots have their own agenda. Robots tell you what they want, what they need. And so the robot dolls are a very different kind of animal where they really are actors in this drama. And so that doesn't give the child the same kind of free play, which is so healthy for
a
child.
Well, sure. Even as you point out, when we play with dolls or with other humans, there's a mirroring that happens. So we have a whole generation of kids, those that played with these robots, who are mirroring a robot.
Yes. And that's where we really get into trouble, because when a doll like My Real Baby says, this doll will help socialize your child, the psychologist in me, my hackles go up. Because the last thing you want is your child being socialized by a robot.
Right. By the way, psychologist in her, that psychologist and MIT professor Sherry Turkle, whose new book, Alone Together, is pretty much about how we are all connected now with this internet, but very much alone. And that was the thing that broke my heart the most. What I was seeing, and you said it's across the board, it doesn't matter what income the family is, children were telling these robots or telling you, the researcher, that they wished they had their parents there instead. We heard that over and over and over again.
Yes. I mean, there's also the question that should not go unexamined. Why are we so ready to talk about nanny bots, elder care bots? I call it, you know, leasing out love's labor, or love's labor lost. I mean, our human compact with each other is to take care of each other. And if we offload that to robots, we're basically saying who don't love us. I mean, these robots don't love us. They don't understand us. We're really abdicating some of our most fundamental responsibilities to each other. Well, this is not a happy story.
Well, stay with the parents again before we move to the elder care. Because you say that in much in the way that the children now, instead of the reverse, instead of children wanting to take care of their dolls, they're now there's a demand that they take care of and nurture these robots. The same thing, you say, has happened to adults. We sort of feel like, oh, we're using the internet. We're not. The internet, it sort of has the same kind of feel that we feel we have to nurture our internet.
Yes, yes. It was funny, when I first got to MIT, I went to a meeting in which this is in the late 70s, the purpose of the meeting was to figure out what we were going to do with computers, what could we possibly do with computers, because here were these machines and people really didn't know what you could do with personal computers. And it's turned out that we've become the killer app. I mean, what don't we do with computers? The question got turned around. We do everything with computers. And in some ways, I feel we sit at the dinner table and family after family, it's the children who complain that the parents are on their Blackberries, on their iPhones. It's the children who complain that while the mom is reading Harry Potter, she has her Blackberry on. It's the children who complain that at school pickup, the mom is there cycling through her messages.
Well, it's the children also who are, many of them, getting out of this. You meet young people who say, look, there's too much stress. Facebook is all about composing the perfect person online, deciding who you want a friend and feeling badly if there's someone you say hello to at school but you're embarrassed to put them on your Facebook page. I have a niece who has said to me, she's in college now, but she says, I'm off that grid. I'm not doing it anymore. And you said they're sort of leading this charge?
Well, you know, it's hard to call it a charge because for people who leave, there are just as many who join. So I'm not sure I want to call it a charge yet, but I do find something that I call the nostalgia of the young. And the nostalgia of the young is nostalgia for something you never had. And what they feel they never had, I sum up with the words full attention. What they feel they're missing is having people's full attention. They talk about a conversation on a landline phone where somebody was in high fidelity, the call would not get dropped. They maybe had a cup of coffee with them, but they were there just for you. this is like an experience that these kids have never had. You know, they're
and some are afraid to have. Some are afraid to
and
have.
Some are afraid to have. I mean, they text, they don't talk, they never use their phone minutes. Nobody wants to call them. They hide behind texting because a phone call seems too much of a commitment. They perform on Facebook, as you said, because they're given an opportunity to be who they want to be. They're expected to be who they want to be, not who they are. It's a very complicated environment. One of my surprising findings, and as you said, I was an early enthusiast, and this is one of the things that, let's say, has cooled me down, was that when you play an avatar online, when you play a game or when you go in a community like Second Life, you really play an aspect of self. But when you go on Facebook and you think you're playing yourself, you really are playing a role. So you're kind of never you. And for teenagers, that's hard.
Well, we've already said, too, that the thinking is, and this is one of your concerns, that the debate has already been framed. You say that when it comes to looking into the future, when it comes to the elderly, for instance, the debate has been, look, if we don't have enough people to take care of them, so robots are going to make them happier. In your experience, you found that the touch of a human hand always trumped handing an elderly person a robot. But you also say that, wait a minute, the debate is not framed. This is not just a choice between having robots because we don't have anyone else and we only have latchkey kids and or not enough caretakers for the elderly. We can change the debate. And further, this is not an addiction. So right. We don't have to get rid of all of technology to get rid of the problem.
Right. Yeah, I think the debate has been framed in two ways that are very troubling. On the first, the robots or nothing argument is specious. There are plenty of people who need work. If we provide the structures, the money, the time, the organization to get these people working. And on the question of the internet is set, we know how to use it. The game is defined. That simply can't be true. And issues, particularly issues like privacy, and what kind of support for privacy. What kind of democracy can we have without privacy? What kind of intimacy can we have without privacy? We can't go on this way where we don't know what kind of privacy we have on the internet. That debate needs to be unframed, reframed, put right back into the public conversation. Like I said in the beginning, we grew up with the internet, but it doesn't mean the internet's all grown up.
Right. It's not done yet.
Not done.
Well, now I'm going to do something ridiculous, Sherry Turkle, as we just talked about how we are all way too connected. Hey, listen, if you have some comments on this, go to our website, hereandnow.org, because I can't call each and every one of you on a landline, hereandnow.org. We know people, especially parents, have thoughts about this. It's a provocative book. It's terrific, all the different interviews you've done, Alone Together, Why We Expect More from Technology and Less from Each Other. A psychologist and MIT professor, Sherry Turkle, always, always interesting conversation. Thanks so much.
Thank you.